his being in Greece, his being with Salisbury for a month in Ithaca, and then Salisbury coming to Greece with a group committee, and then Matt going to ABS, and a year later Salisbury saying that there's a lot against Rock Prentice, but look at the kind of men he's gathering, and I've got those listed down. And now Matt Dietrich is going on. I cut you off in a sentence. You remember where you were?
Well, I was... oh, when I...
Oh, you said you only got fired one time, and then you said you didn't... You weren't even necessarily hired, and then you...
Almost didn't get hired because he had written to me in Greece and offered me a job. And, of course, I'd left, which was Northern Ohio Breeders at the time, in Northeastern Ohio, and become Central Ohio, and they developed managers who wanted to come back to Greece, sure come back just for see if we got a job for you. And so I felt there was commitment there, and so I responded to Rock, and I said, Rock, I got a commitment. But I said, rather than to see, talk to DiCello, I said, rather than make a decision now, I said, you don't know me, and I don't know you. And I think it'd be best if we met each other and talked before we make either one of us make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And he accepted that. And so when I got to New York, there was a telegram from him, and I was supposed to call him in Chicago. I called him and he said, well, I want you to come right to Chicago from New York. And I said, well, Rock, I've been away from my family for 9 months. I'd like to get home this Christmas time with my family. He said, well, Bill Higley was in Chicago, and he said, it's important to me. We've got these school stuff we want to get going down in North Carolina, and we want you to come back to Higley. And I said, well, is that important? I'll try to make my plans. So it was difficult, of course, to get transportation at that time yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I've got to stop in Syracuse to see the man who's going to call me over there. I got to talk to him. I said, then I'll call you from there and let you know when I'm going to get to Chicago. And this was like a Friday. Well done. I'm not going to call him ahead of time because I don't know how long it's going to take. And then I'm going to get the next train out of here. So I didn't call him until, I think, about 10 or 10 o'clock at night. And by that time, he was at Lake Geneva.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called him and wanted to know where I was. I said, well, I'm still in Syracuse. You are. He said, well, are you going to get to Chicago tonight? I said, well, I'm not. Well, Phil Higley's staying there and waiting on you to come. He was living in Indianapolis at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was obvious after a while that he'd had a few drinks there, too. And,
mm-hmm.
and finally he said, well, are you going to be here now? I said, well, according to the train schedule, I'll be in there Saturday morning. And I was supposed to be in there about 7 o'clock or something like that. And I better give it a little bit of time. I said, well, 10 o'clock. And he said, okay, I forget what his secretary was. Anyway, he said, take a memo. Dietrich says he's going to be here at 10 o'clock tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yeah, Saturday.
Chicago. Oh, and was that the next day?
It was the next day, yeah.
Oh.
And so he had to come down, of course, from Lake Geneva to meet me. And
well, you must have had to get right on the train then.
Yeah, I ran on the train, come out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, perfectly fine. I mean, he had never even made any reference to what happened the night before.
And so that was when you got hired then?
That's when I got hired, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't know how close, maybe I wouldn't have got hired if I hadn't.
You hadn't managed to get onto that train, huh? Well, what about when you only got fired once?
Oh, when I got to that day in Chicago, and I said, told him, I said, I can't make a commitment today. This is Christmas, before Christmas, and they're starting operation down there January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I've got to go home with my family, and I said, I've got to see Dick Collard because I made a commitment to him. Oh, he said.
Were you a married man yet?
Oh, yeah, I was married. I had a family with me in Greece.
They'd been with you in Greece?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he says, oh, you got to come. He said, we got to get this going. Even if it's only for a couple of months, you've got to come and run this operation for us. And I said, no, I can't give you any kind of I think it was after Christmas, I went to, I had to go back to New York again to finish the business, so that's where the Near East Foundation was located, their office. So I knew I couldn't get there first of the month, first, and so I stopped and seen Dick Fellow, and I talked to him, and Dick says, oh, he said, we can't. Matt said, I said, you better go with that, but he said, do you ever have any problems with it, let us know. So then I called Rock from there, and on my way to New York, I would take the job, but it still couldn't be down there till the 10th or 12th of January, so he sent Don Felpy down to get things started, until I got down there. And when the time I was fired was when he wanted me to come into Chicago to head up the operations. I was operations manager. And of course, I was moving the family to Chicago.
From North Carolina at this point. Uh-huh.
And they were all children in school, you know. It took me a while to really get this thing put through with it. If I really wanted, I wanted it, but whether I should or not. And so he called me one night, we had guests there, and he said, you gotta make up your mind. Guy waiting, you gotta make up your mind. And I wanted to discuss things with him, but I knew he wasn't in any
shape to discuss it.
I said, I'm not ready to make up my mind. Okay then, fire. The next morning, called back, and I was hired again. Willing to take my...
Did you lose any sleep over it that
well,
night?
Well, yeah, I think I lost a little sleep. But I had heard that he'd done this with other people too.
Had he done it this...
I think who was the guy that's up here? This field man for a long while up here. Anyway, he had the record. I think he was fired about 13 or 14 times, I think it was.
That would be interesting. I'm sure I'm getting it there. So then you did go from Asheville up to Chicago.
Yes.
To be the manager or whatever you...
Operations
manager.
Phil was the general manager, and I was the operations manager, then he had the sales manager, I was really incorporated. Another interesting, I don't know if it's in there or not, I can't remember, about Elliot. He was offered a job with ABS when he was in Greece. And they needed a manager down at Carmel. But he'd been in the academic field, research, of course, before he went to Greece, and he felt that a couple of years that he was out of that field was long enough, he needed to get back. And, well, they said that if he couldn't come to work there, then eventually they were going to need somebody else to work with Dr. Willett, and he could get in, and he knew Willett, and he could get in the research then, but they couldn't promise him when it would be, so he couldn't accept that, so he turned him down. Sometime after that, when he left North Carolina to go to Connecticut, not anyway, it was somewhere along the way, they offered him a job again, and he turned him down. And I happened to be up to their convention in Massachusetts, and Herb was there, and that was after they offered me the job to for Chicago, but then it was a matter of replacement. So I kept visiting with Herb, and he was head of the dairy department there at the time. And I gathered he wasn't too happy with the superiors, but things were going. So in the conversation with Higley, I said, well, maybe Herb might be interested. Well, he said,
tried and tried.
Twice before, he said, well, he said, maybe it's worth a third time. And so they contacted him and took the job. And so he replaced me at Asheville at the time. It's interesting there, too, because he was my director in Greece. He left and I took over from him. And then I moved into Chicago, and he was a Matt manager in Asheville. He worked under me. And he did here when he moved up here. And it was interesting in John's explanation of what happened when Higley went in and talked to Elliot about the fact that the reorganization
had squeezed you out.
Squeezed me out. That he responded the way he did.
You hadn't heard that Elliot hit the roof when he heard that? Well, how glad I am.
Yes,
we've had this morning because you've just learned that Elliot, he said he's never heard anybody, how did he put it? He's never heard anybody blow up worse than that before or ever since.
I wasn't aware of that. And then after, and of course we were, had to work together because of all those years, because the labs and the production was brought in, and you know, and they had the people processing it, had it, so they had to work together, and so we worked together all these years. Well, and when Dave Bartlett and retired, I was looking for a successor for him, and I had indicated that I was maybe might like to have early retirement, and so they said, well, I might have recommended you, but you were going to be on it. So ended up getting Elliot. So Elliot was then made vice president of production, so he was my superior again. So we flopped back and forth over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But there was never any problem as far as that goes. We worked out along fine. We worked together.
It's been very nice. Most enjoyable.
What other?
Oh, okay.
You made some reference to something about the way people looked at artificial insemination back in those days. I remember the story that was told me, I think, by one of the farmers that I was breeding cows for. And he said that, and he was younger, and expect that because at that time that wasn't normally a topic of conversation in the family group or something like that. And, but this was a younger couple's group. And his wife got talking with the women about this new artificial insemination. They'd heard something about it. When cows bred artificially, he said, are they satisfied? And so Miss Goodman spoke up and she said, you know, Matthew Trick? She said, well, said, if you had that hand and arm of his up your rectum, she said, I don't know if you'd be satisfied or not, but you knew you had enough.
When my kids were little, my three older children, we were at the farm and I saw Amos's car there. And since I'd gotten my early education from the inseminator, why, I figured, well, they might as well too. So we went down in the barn and Amos was inseminating a cow and he plunged his, put his arm up the rectum. And then did the whole thing, and my little, and the cow, of course, hunched her back and bulged her eyes and wasn't happy. And afterwards, when we were driving up from the Round Barn farm up to the other farm, why Megan, who would have been, 5 years old or so forth at that time, and he explained the procedure a little bit. She said to me, Mother, she said, do you think that the cow would have preferred the bull? And I said, I'm sure the cow would have preferred the bull.
It's some of these things you take for granted that people should accept and know, because I was breeding cows. I had two daughters, 4 and 5, they used to fight with me. I watched them breed cows, and they just accepted it.
Yeah.
Big deal at all.
I have a story in, I'll turn this off because I know my